If you have your Bibles or your phones or whatever it is, you'll want to open to Acts chapter 5. As we continue this series we're going through in Acts, you know, the life in the Spirit, we're going to be talking about the unstoppable work of God. And if you've been here, you know we've been going through the story, through this part where the apostles have been out in the temple courts and they've been preaching, and the Sanhedrin called them in and threatened them not to teach about Jesus anymore. And they still continue to do that, so the elders and the chief priests had them arrested and put in prison overnight. And in the middle of the night, an angel of the Lord appeared to them and released them from prison and told them to go back in the temple courts. And in the morning, the guard goes back to the jail, and they unlock the doors and open and find out that the apostles aren't there. And so they go back to the Sanhedrin and they report to the Sanhedrin, hey, we don't know what happened, but the apostles are not in jail. At that point, somebody comes running into the Sanhedrin area, probably walking in really, and comes in there and says, hey, these apostles, they're back in the temple courts, and they're preaching, they're still teaching about Jesus. So they send the guards out to them, get them, and without any real beating or force, because they're afraid of the people, the guards bring them in, and they're before the Sanhedrin, and the Sanhedrin is telling them, you have to stop doing this. And that is where we pick up. I'm going to ask you to stand as we read our scripture this morning, and we're going to start at verse 29, a little bit of background. We looked at this yesterday because it really sets the foundation, not yesterday, last week. It sets the foundation for us. Acts chapter 5, beginning at 29, it says, Peter and the other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than human beings. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a cross. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. And now for our main scripture this morning, which begins at verse 33. When they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a little while. Then he addressed the Sanhedrin, men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to these men. Some time ago, Theudas appeared claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed. All of his followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and all of his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go, for if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. His speech persuaded them. They called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated, and may God bless the reading of his holy word. Now, most of you will know that I have played sports and watched sports for many years now. And every once in a while, you hear of a player or of a team that is described as being unstoppable. Either they're so fast or they're so strong that their opponents don't really stand a chance against them. Back when I was in high school, I ran cross country and I ran track. And in track, I was put into the events where our team needed to make sure we got points. And when I went up against somebody, I went all out. And people would say that I was an athlete and I was unstoppable on the soccer field. On the island of Guam, I'm big compared to most people. You know, by now you probably get some of that. And I was a center fullback. And teams, when they would come up against our team, they would try to find ways to work around me, an unstoppable force. Well, that's not really the case anymore. Lisa and I, we had a soccer game yesterday. And I tell you what, I barely hold my own out there running around and stuff. I am old. I am worn out. I'm just not the force that I used to be, unfortunately. You know, now there are other teams out there or players that you might be able to think of. You know, the Dallas Cowboys, years ago, they had this dynasty. New York Yankees. The Los Angeles Lakers, when they had Magic Johnson and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, they were just unstoppable. Players such as Earl Campbell or maybe Walter Payton, Emmitt Smith, Michael Jordan in his prime, Kobe Bryant, Shaquille O'Neal. See, these are all players who other people would have said they were unstoppable. But realistically, though, even though these teams or players were very good at one point in time, they could not be called unstoppable. And why is that? Because we all get old. Circumstances change. We are limited creatures living in a limited world. Only God is not limited. Only God does not change. Only God is unstoppable. And this leads us to the main idea that I want us to get this morning, and that is because God's purpose is unstoppable, we would do well to cooperate with Him, pursuing His will for our lives. I got to stop for a moment. I don't know if it's bothering you, but it bothers me. My red sleeve, I have a red shirt on underneath, and my red sleeve was hanging down. Oh, OCD. Okay, it's not there anymore. Because God's purpose is unstoppable, we would do well to cooperate with Him, pursuing His will for our lives. And I want us to look at three areas that will help us as we pursue God's unstoppable purpose. And the first is that those who pursue God's purpose should expect opposition. In verse 33 of our scripture, it said, when they heard this, speaking about the Sanhedrin, when they heard this, they were furious and they wanted to put them to death. As the apostles were being faithful to obey God and to carry out His purpose, they encountered some very fierce hostility. The same group of people, the same group of men who had just put Jesus to death, now sat before the apostles, and they had these murderous looks in their eyes. The apostles knew this could be it for them. This could very well be the end of the road. And yet we do not find them wringing their hands and sweating it out and saying, what are we going to do? No, they were leaving the consequences to God. Jesus had warned them about this opposition that they should expect to encounter it. In Matthew chapter 10 at verse 16, Jesus says, I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard against men. They will hand you over to the local councils and flog you in their synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Maybe we could sum up what it is that Jesus had told them by saying, Jesus is saying, trust me. You will face problems. You will face opposition, but trust me to help you accomplish my purpose in the midst of these trials, in the midst of these troubles. In John chapter 16, Jesus says, in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. See, we should not be surprised when we are doing God's will and we find and we face indifference or hostility or maybe even outright hatred. And this is especially true when we are doing God's will as it relates to sharing the gospel. You know, the good news that Jesus loves people? And He wants to forgive their sins. Now, some people, they can't come to the grip, to the reality of their own sin, their own shortcomings. And they lash out at anyone who brings it up, who brings up the subject. So we should prepare ourselves spiritually mentally and even emotionally, for the opposition that will come when we set out to do what it is that God wants us to do. And how do we do that? Well, we can start by recognizing God's promise to be with us and to help us through the difficult times. Because those who pursue God's purpose can weather any opposition. It says in verse 40, "Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus." Fear factor. The fear factor has kept many sincere Christians from doing what it is that God wanted them to do. We sometimes get the idea that if we're going along and we come up against some obstacle, some threat, that maybe we have missed God's calling. Maybe we're not doing what it is that God wants us to be doing. However, difficulties along the way, they may actually be a sign that we are right where God wants us to be. We are right in God's will rather than out of it. And if we stop pressing forward when the enemy rears his ugly head, we will not get very far in pursuing all that God has marked out for us to do. The Lord said to Joshua numerous times, "Fear not, for I am with you." The closer we are to the Lord through prayer, through the reading of His holy word, through just walking with Him and spending time with Him, the better we will be able to overcome the fear factor when the opposition comes our way. Now, along with overcoming the fear factor of the enemy, we can carry on even if physical or emotional pain comes our way. See, verse 40, it continues and it says, "They called the apostles in and had them flogged." Basically, the apostles were beaten, probably with 39 stripes, causing great pain and humiliation. This was done in public. And you would think that this would be really upsetting for the apostles. But what was their response? Yeah, in verse 41, the apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing. I can just imagine them walking out excited that they've just been beaten, that they've been whipped. Because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Suffering disgrace is more than just physical pain. It is emotional trauma. And yet, instead of getting mad at God for allowing this to happen to them, they rejoiced because they were counted worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus. You see, even death does not stop God's purpose from being fulfilled. It's not something we like to talk about or think about death, unless, of course, you're Pastor Frank, who writes articles and all kinds of things about it. He's an expert on death, if you want. But do you realize we all have an appointment with death? Unless the Lord comes first. However, when we die, God's purpose does not die with us. And God's purpose, it does not die with us because His purpose is bigger than any one of us. As you look at the apostles, God's purpose was bigger than any one of them. It was bigger than Peter. When he was crucified upside down because he did not feel he was worthy to die in the same manner as his Lord. It was bigger than Paul when he was put to death by the wicked Emperor Nero. It was bigger than Stephen when he was stoned to death by the religious leaders, the Jewish leaders. It was bigger than each of the other apostles. They were all put to death by people who hated God and wanted his purpose stopped, despised his purpose, all except John. John was the only one of the apostles who was not put to death. But even when he died, the very last of the apostles, at a very, very old age, God's purpose did not stop. God's purpose, it cannot be stopped. Because God loves the people that He created. And His purpose is to bring them back to Himself. He chooses to entrust His purpose with weak and feeble people like us, like you and me. But somehow the job still gets done and God's purpose still goes on. No amount of opposition can squash or put an end to the purpose of God. See, those who pursue the purpose of God, they will not be sidetracked from it. After facing the hostile intimidation of the Sanhedrin, after suffering the pain and the humiliation of being beaten publicly, the apostles, they went right back to doing what it is that God had purposed for them to do, what God had told them to do. Look at verse 42. It says, day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. They never stopped. They kept at it. They didn't give up. They would not be dissuaded from doing what God wanted them to do. Question for us this morning. How much does it take in our life to get us off track from obeying God, from serving God? You know, when disappointment comes our way, do you throw your hands up and you say, that's it, I give up? If God isn't going to take better care of me, then I'm just going to boycott him. I'm going to do things my own way. Now, I'm not saying this to make light of pain and suffering and struggles that we go through. You may be going through some right now. I'm sure there are some of you who have suffered far more than I have. But I remember 8.5 years ago when my mom was rushed to the hospital. And we quickly made our way up there. And we're in this ICU room. And my mom is hooked up to these tubes. And we're praying and we're pleading. My brother and my sister and I, we're pleading with God. God, you can save her. We know you can. And we're crying and we're questioning God. And we're praying and praying and praying. And 10 days later, my mom passed away. And in that time where she's in the hospital and just after she passes away, you're questioning and you're wondering, why is all of this taking place? Why does this have to happen? Has God heard me? If he has, why isn't he answering? Questions like, is there something that I could do differently? Is there some other way I could handle this? And you question God and you're wondering and you're hurting and there's the pain. Well, I haven't found any easy answers for those kind of questions. And that's because there are no easy answers. And we may never, ever find an answer in this lifetime. Sometimes life is really hard. However, I have found God to be totally and completely faithful. He is loving, and his purpose is to show his love to me. And it will not be stopped simply because of some pain or some grief. God will not stop loving me just because I question him and I'm wondering what's going on. Why do these bad things have to happen? God is bigger than my questions, and he can deal with that. The Apostle Paul tells us that there is absolutely nothing that can separate us from the love of God. In Romans chapter 8 at verse 35, he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The very best anchor to hold you steady during the storms is the assurance that Jesus loves you. He will never, ever abandon you. You may face a mountain of problems. There may be a raging storm of trouble all around you. But Jesus will be right there with you, helping you through it all, carrying you if need be. And he can help you to stay on track with the unstoppable purpose of God. You see, he has something that he wants to accomplish through your life. There is something that he wants you to do that nobody else can do the way that you can do it. But if the enemy is able to creep in and to get you to doubt God's love for you and his care for you, then you may fall out of alignment with God's purpose, just as Adam and Eve did in the garden so long ago. Don't let that happen. Stay on your guard. Remember this above all else. If you remember nothing else from this morning, remember this. Jesus always loves you no matter what. And he will never let you down. See, we've been talking about the unstoppable work of God. And just as Gamaliel said, but if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. Fighting against God will get you nowhere. You can run and run and run as long as you want, but God will be right there. So set your heart to pursue God's purpose for your life. Expect the opposition to come, but don't cave in when it's there. Recognize that with God's help, you can weather any opposition. You can weather any storm. Do not let yourself get sidetracked by disappointment or discouragement. God loves you, and he will help you to make it to the very end. And for those who endure until the end, they are guaranteed the victory. Think about it. Is your life in alignment with God's purpose? Do you know what God's purpose is for you? Well, his primary purpose for each and every one of us is to get to know him and to make him known to others. If you are pursuing the first part, you know, getting to know God by spending time with him, hanging out with him, worshiping him, studying the scripture, the second part follows right in line. If you spend much time with God at all, then you realize how much he loves lost people. He wants to bring them home. This morning, if there is something that is keeping you from pursuing God's purpose in your life, would you be bold enough? Would you be brave enough to lay it down at Jesus' feet? Ask him to help you with that. Maybe you've been disappointed or hurt in the past. Somebody said something, or the church has done something different the way you didn't want it, and it just hurt deeply, and so you're just not pursuing God's purpose. You're just there. I believe that healing can begin today. If there is someone here, maybe you've gotten sidetracked somewhere along the way. You've been walking, and things have just kind of taken you off course. Would you be willing to come back on track today? Pursuing the unstoppable work of God. You see, God is sovereign, and we can trust him, and his work will continue. The question is, would we be bold enough to step forward?